our veterans.
You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Cigar in hand, wait, and my coffee cup is full, because in just a couple of minutes we're going to have Agent 0010 join us for the Intel report. And folks, it's going to be a barn burner this morning. Every week is a barn burner when it comes to the Intel report, so that's nothing new. Even when we discuss, one of the things I hate about the agent is that he'll discuss things with me ahead of time, you know, what he might be talking about and what he's working on, but he never tells me everything. He makes me wait, just like you. Now, I'm the freaking host of the show. I'm supposed to have the inside information, and he makes me wait. But it adds to the to the genuineness of the report, because a lot of times, really, honestly, you know, the man, I don't know if the man sleeps. He's kind of like Donald Trump. But he always finds other stuff. So there are times when we talk about one thing, you know, earlier in the week, and then all of a sudden he calls me the next day. No, I found something else out. And it just blows that away about this whole subject. So that's probably why he doesn't tell me everything up front, because he just continually digs and digs, and he continually finds stuff. That's how good the guy is. Honestly, I'm not just blowing smoke up his ass, and he knows it. I said ass. So what? My show. Now, what would be the coup de craw? Or is it coup d'etat? Coup d'etat. Craw. No, craw is, that's a crawdad. That's, you know, something you get down in Louisiana. The coup d'etat would be able to get, and it never. Video. You know, we need to have, if I go through full video, multi-streaming, we need to have, well, I guess we could just put a, you know, shadowy figure up on the screen for him. He likes to remain anonymous, and for obvious reasons, don't blame him. But in any case, because he's that good, actually. I, for one, am glad that a person like him was working on our side. And I, for one, am glad. Look, I've often said this. It isn't just the military, but the people that we have, the actual people with boots on the ground that are trying to protect this country, the rank and file. These are some of the most intelligent, badass people on the planet. They have got to be in order to keep this country safe. They've got to be. I mean, they've got to be literally the best of the best. And I, for one, am glad and honored that they are willing to sacrifice their lives to do that. It's an amazing... You're hard-pressed. Because people that are dumb as rocks, like... Or can you imagine if our... Well, I know... Let me slow down here. I fully understand that there are people that run some of these organizations. They're dumb as rocks. And yet the people who with the boots on the ground are still able to get their jobs done. Now, can you imagine if the people as dumb as rocks start getting as dumb as Ocasio-Cortez and start end up running these agencies? I shudder to think what would happen to us at that particular point. And if Ocasio-Cortez is not the only airhead trying to run for public office right now. There's more of them. And she's a millennial. And I have mentioned the danger of millennials beginning to take the reins of power. Ooh, we're in for a bumpy ride. Anyway, let's bring on the agent. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing well. Glad to be back on the show again, as usual, and I hope everybody's doing well.
Yeah, so we've got all of this collusion or stuff that is now turning into conspiracy, and I mentioned that they were going to start dropping names into the conspiracy barrel, but they'd better be careful because a lot of their own people are going to get snared in this. And you just told me that there's some information, a story that I obviously missed. I try to catch everything, but I'm only one man. You know, I may be superhuman, but I'm not Superman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was reported last night that Robert Mueller's team referred Tony Podesta, John Podesta's big brother, and head of the Podesta group, the lobbyist group, he was referred to the Southern District Attorney General's office in New York for investigation on basically not filing as a foreign agent. And the answer to that would be guilty. Why do I say that? Common sense, because the simple fact is that at the time that this was happening, the Podesta group was working for the Ukrainian president, and they sent Paul Manafort to the Ukraine to work with the Ukrainian president. So yes, at that time, Paul Manafort was working for the Podesta group when dealing with the Ukrainians. So the answer to that would be guilty. Done. Okay.
So
let the trial begin.
They would be hard pressed to charge Manafort, who was basically an employee, without charging the employer.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I wonder if they actually talk to the Podestas and say, "You guys are going to have to fall on the sword on this one."
I wouldn't be surprised, because the simple fact is that, you know, the one thing that I've learned throughout the years is that in order for the bad guy to look like a good guy, he looks like he's doing something good for, you know, certain groups. So basically it's a case of, oh, okay, they're trying to figure us out that we're bad guys. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to basically put up a sacrificial lamb to make it look like we're doing the right thing, when in all honesty, it's just a stall tactic. It's a stall tactic. In fact, honestly, police officers, and I'm not saying police officers are the bad guys. I'm not saying that at all. But it's one of the tactics that undercover police officers have done, where they infiltrate an organization and they might do or might be involved in certain things that are borderline illegal, but not really illegal. But they do that in order to protect themselves and protect their cover from being blown. So, yeah, that's a tactic that's done by the good guys and the bad guys. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not falling for this whole Tony Podesta thing. My whole thing has always been, let's see the outcome. Let's see what happens next. I'm not going to jump for joy at the latest news of, you know, something coming down the line. It's like, oh, yippee. No.
Well, if this is
I
the
am
case,
waiting
if they,
to see what happens next.
Is this why they're pressing so hard with the tax evasion case on Manafort? Because then that would leave the Podestas out of it, because they don't do his taxes.
Yeah, basically, that's it. They wouldn't be touched by that. That would be all on Manafort and nothing on the Podestas. So I'm sorry, but this is the most weaselly, dirtiest, slimiest family. These two are the biggest weasels I've ever laid eyes on. Okay. And I just don't trust them. And every time that John Podesta talks, I'm like, dude, you look like a Pez dispenser with that big mouth of yours. It looks like the top of your head's ready to flip back. They're just slimy. How they have loved ones, these must be either money-grubbing individuals or love is truly blind, because these two weasels, I'm sorry, if I were to shake hands with them, I would immediately go running and go get you know, a biohazard station and get decontaminated. They're just that slimy. And can somebody answer one question for me? Does Mark Zuckerberg look like he belongs in the movie Twilight? Because the guy is pale. He's got pink eyes. He glitters in the sun. I mean, the guy is... Somebody take him outside, get him some sun, and let's see what happens. Well, if he starts burning, he's a vampire.
I was going to say, he jogs every day, but maybe he's into, the Twilight? Is that, well, you know, he's still young enough to be a fan of that stuff.
I'm looking at a picture of him right now. Somebody get that guy some sun. He has severe vitamin C deficiency. Anyway, let's get to the report. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you go out in this world and you start hearing certain things, especially when it comes to the USSR, and you start, well, Russia and the USSR are the same No. Correct them right off the bat. Because you see, the USSR was a union of many nations that the form of government was socialism. Thus the name, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. So Russia was a country, the USSR was a union. Let's make that perfectly clear. Outside of that, there were a number of other countries that were not in the union, but they fell under what you might call the control of the domination of Russia, the country, which was the head of the USSR. Now, the former countries of the USSR were Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Belarus, Azerbaijan, Georgia, Tajikistan, Moldova, Kyrgyzstan, Lithuania, Turkmenistan, Armenia, Latvia, and Estonia. Now, the countries that fell under the influence of Russia and the USSR, but they were not members of the USSR, were Poland, East Germany, Romania, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Hungary, Albania, and Yugoslavia. Now, those countries, they were socialist, just like the USSR, but they were not a member of the USSR. They were members of their own, by themselves, but they fell under the influence, the domination of the USSR. Now, what do all of these countries, other than being basically embroiled in the entire Russia Soviet socialist system, they all have one other thing in common. And that other one thing in common is they're no longer socialist. That is an extensive list of former Soviet socialist countries that I have just given you. These socialist countries are no longer socialist. Why? Because the crap don't work. It doesn't work. That is an extensive list. Now, some liberal might sit there and go, yeah, well, hey, dude, there are other socialist countries today. Yeah, four. There are four socialist countries in the world today that are officially socialist. China, which is having its own financial problems right now. Cuba, broke. Laos, broke. And Vietnam, broke. So let's take a look at the fact that right now, four countries, there are only four countries left in the world that are socialist, okay? They're broke. All the other countries that I mentioned before that were either in the USSR or fell under the influence of the USSR are financially and economically, they're still growing. They're still suffering from that whole Soviet socialist system, but they're trying to recover, and it's a slow process, but it is actually happening. Now, this is what brings me to my point today. You've got pinheads like Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that are saying, well, socialism works. Oh, gee, like Bernie said, oh, socialism works. He looks and sounds like the guy from Back to the Future, that crazy professor. But anyway, they're saying that socialism does work because look at certain countries. Well, let's take a look at the countries they're talking about, shall we? Let's do that. Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Finland, Iceland, and Switzerland. Okay, let's take a look at their actual political system. Constitutional monarchy, Sweden. That's right. Sweden has a king and a queen, just like by the, England.
By the way, also, the Swedish crown jewels were just stolen. Yeah, they still have a monarchy, and they just reported yesterday that the Swedish crown jewels, some of the Swedish crown jewels, have been stolen.
Socialists probably stole them and pawned them off. But just like England, Sweden has a king and a queen. By the way, England also has socialized medicine that is draining their budget dry and is also a failure. It is failing. It is difficult to keep this thing going. Now, I said Sweden, constitutional monarchy. Denmark, constitutional monarchy. They have a king and a queen. Norway, constitutional monarchy. They have a king and a queen. Now, Finland is a parliamentary democracy. Basically, they have a king and they have a president and they have a head of state. So you have a head of government and a head of state. Two different jobs. It's like the Spartans at the way back when the Spartans were alive and well and they were the scourge of all of Greece. They had two kings. The Spartans did not have one king. They had two. That's their form of government. Same thing with Finland. Iceland is a constitutional republic. Gee, what other country is a constitutional republic? Oh, yeah, the United States. Thank you. And then you have Switzerland. Switzerland is a direct democracy or, like many people call it, a pure democracy. And what is a pure democracy? The people vote on everything under the sun. Tax hike. Okay, we'll vote on it. The people are directly involved in the government. That really doesn't sound socialist to me. Not at all. Now, they turn around and they say, oh, well, they have socialized medicine, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you know what? You got a point. You got a point. They have socialized medicine. And what people don't seem to understand is that socialized medicine is a blessing and a curse at the same time. Is everybody covered? Yes. Oh, I have a flu, a really bad flu. Okay, yeah, you just called your doctor that you were assigned to because they assign a doctor to you. You don't pick him. It's assigned. And, yeah, he can see you in 2 months. Wait a minute, 2 months? But I have the flu now. Doesn't matter. We're booked solid. That's how socialized medicine works because that's the way it also works in England and that's the way it also works in Canada. So to sit there and say, well, everybody's got health insurance. Yeah, they do. Everybody has health insurance.
But they don't have health care.
Well,
that's the difference.
No, you have to schedule. You have to schedule your illness and your doctor's appointment ahead of time.
We can fight that here big time. And they do it on purpose. Obamacare was not health care. It was insurance.
Exactly. I mean, that's like saying, hey, Rod, next year at this time, I plan on having the flu, so I'm going to call my doctor now and schedule my appointment. So I may not be doing a report that day because I might be at the doctor's office if he has an opening. Really? So socialized medicine, it just doesn't work. And then the report came out that supposedly, socialized medicine in this country, Medicaid for everybody, is going to cost $32 trillion for 10 years. Stop. I read that study. They're not taking several things into consideration. And that is A, population growth. In 10 years, a lot of people will be born. And in those 10 years also, a lot of people will need medicine, not just the infants. Because you'll have teenagers that will become adults. So and they'll be out on their own.
And more baby boomers becoming senior citizens. And more population growth
is not. Population growth was not taken into consideration. Now, here's a number that's, you know, some numbers that some people may want to write down because it's a lot of numbers. Why does social medicine work in these other countries but not for the United States? Okay, the United States population is 325.72 million people. So if we round it off, 326 million people in the United States. Sweden, less than 100 million. 9.90 million, to be exact. Denmark, 5.73 million people. That's it. Norway, 5.23 million people. Iceland, 334,252. That's it. Switzerland, 8.37 million people. And Finland, 5.5 million people. So basically, the highest number would be Sweden at almost 100 million. So here and say that socialized – go ahead.
Keep in mind that Iceland as a country, and they're blaming the bankers, but that's not the bankers. Iceland basically went bankrupt. Sweden has changed their socialized medical system three times in the last 40 years. England has tried to change its socialized medicine by decentralizing it. And when I say decentralizing it, instead of everything being controlled in London, they created these zones. And there were central offices in all these zones, and it's still not working. And so all these socialized medicine companies or countries where they're saying it's working, well, it actually isn't working. I mean, Finland, their generalized or their marginal tax rate is over 70%. They're the highest on the planet.
Well, I'm glad you brought up England, because England, the country that's having the most difficulties with socialized medicine, their population, okay? Well, first of all, let me correct myself. I did say 10 million. England, their population, 53 million people as of 2011. That's the last census I could find. So let's round it up. Let's be nice. Let's not be overblown. Let's say 55 million people in England, the country that's having the greatest difficulty in socialized medicine. Now, how to pay for all this socialized medicine? First thing that Bernie and Alexandria said was
taxes.
Really? Okay. Sweden, their taxes, income tax, not corporate tax, income tax, 60% to 61%.
Hold on. We're heading into a hard break here, so we want to keep all this in mind. When we come back, we'll get into all these countries' different tax rates, because that's where, if we get this stuff, hell, our taxes were heading in that direction anyway under Obamacare. And if we get all this free stuff from Ocasio-Cortez, yeah, your tax rate is going to jump through the roof, folks. You're not going to believe how high it's going to get. You're going to think that 70% is a bargain.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Let's go to town. Let's raise our expectations. Let's prepare to be delighted. Let's raise a glass in our spirits. Most of all, let's have some fun doing it. Let's go to Kalamazoo, a big little city in southwest Michigan, a community like no other, where crime is high and old water pipes bursting will have us asking to leave. Where every hour and every day there's new crime to see or hear, drug deals and overdoses, police stations and jails running at full capacity all the time. Polluted water at the diner, detours from broken water mains that are sure to make us want to leave. Let's go to Kalamazoo and embrace all the crime this town has to offer, because the times we savor the most are pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.gov.
Welcome back. Yes, we are still here. And we left off talking about all the wonderful taxes that these places have. And look, folks, we've experimented with ultra high marginal tax rates as well. As at one point, you know, it was as high as 90%. It was under Carter, it was 70% top marginal rate. And every time we cut taxes, you know, Reagan did it big. We saw not only a growth in the economy, but a growth in the amount of revenue that the Treasury Department took in. And this time is no different. Tax cuts work every time they try. We've had this, so far this year, a record amount of taxes collected in the U.S. Treasury. But yet we still have a deficit. The deficit is still on the rise. And I just saw a story. I had a story here where I'll bring it to you later in the program if we still have time. They call the tax cuts the deficits paid for by the deficit. Deficit spending tax cuts. Now, first of all, that's an idiotic and moronic statement. Tax cuts do not cause deficits. Spending causes deficits. Even though our government takes in more money, instead of cutting their spending, or at least leaving it at the same level, no, they run out and increase their spending. And they continue to propose programs that will cause us to spend even more money. And we've just heard, and we can see it in the numbers, that we know by a historical fact that anytime somebody that deals with the government tells us it's going to cost this X amount of money, we know now that it's simply just a down payment. The program always costs more than they told us it would cost. If you think $33 trillion is expensive, oh, wait until you get the real bill, because that's just the down payment. And of course, whenever it doesn't work, especially in this country, if a program doesn't work, no, they don't cut it, scrap it, change it, replace it. No. They double down on it and say, oh, we just need to spend more on it. Think about that. So if you think that, you know, a 50% tax rate, going back to 50% tax rate or 60% is going to be the norm. No, it's not going to be the norm. We're heading back north. And you middle class people out there, you know, you people who are not considered rich even by the government. In other words, if you're making $120,000 a year or less, they don't call you rich. You're going to see your taxes go through the roof. Abso-freaking-lutely. And when that happens, they're going to hit the so-called rich the hardest, and they're going to cut back on their investment. Businesses are going to shut down. Mom-and-pop shops are going to close. People are going to be thrown out. You think 10% unemployment is the norm? Oh, how about over that? 20%. We'll be CNN will be talking about, oh, the unemployment rate dropped to 14%, and everybody's going to be cheering. Trust me, folks. Now, you were saying, Agent, that we had Sweden is what was Sweden's tax rate?
Sweden's tax rate is 60%. Now, mind you, their population is just under 10 million. Denmark, 55%. And their population is just under 6 million. Norway, basically 38.5%. They have a population of basically 5.25 million. Iceland, 46% income tax rate. And their population is under 335,000. Switzerland, 40% tax rate. Finland, now mind you, 40% in Switzerland is not their top 1%. Because in the United States, supposedly the top 1% were paying 40% tax. Switzerland, no, it's everybody. You're paying 40%, period. Finland, 51%. Now, let's take a look.
And Finland,
at
by
two
the way,
other
just,
countries.
Finland just dropped their marginal income tax rate because the people voted for it. They got it, and the repercussions is that they had. And this was a big story about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that they were cutting some of their government programs because they couldn't afford it.
Well, because of their small population. And if they go any higher on their... Come on, Finland, 51%? More than half of your paycheck is going into taxes? That's ridiculous. Now, let's take a look at two other countries that have the socialized medicine, that also have the free college for everyone. England. England's population... 53 million people, their tax rate, 40 to 45%. Canada, their population is 36 million people. Now, Canada's tax rate is only 26%. Okay, gotcha. But you notice, these populations are nowhere near the United States population of 325 million people. So who's going to pay for this? Now, according to Sanders and Cortez, well, taxes will pay for it. Well, then it's not free if we're paying our taxes into these endeavors out of our pockets. These things are, but your kids get good medicine? No, they won't. If they can find an appointment to get in, yeah. And they'll have a free education. It ain't free. I'm paying for it with my taxes. Now, they turn around and they also claim, these two individuals also claim that not only do they want free health care, but they want free college, food stamps, and a living wage. Now, mind you, Finland just got rid of an experiment of a living wage. You don't have to work. You're just going to get the money. And the rate that they were paying people was basically just below $600 a month. Oh, well, that's not enough to live on. No, that pays the rent on just the outskirts of Helsinki in Finland.
Oh, that'll pay for Ontario, Canada is ending their experiment as well. I'll bring the story a little bit later. You won't believe how much they were giving people in Canada in this experiment.
Well, the Finnish government discovered that in order for this to actually be able to help the people, if I convert the money from the Finnish krona to the American dollar, just over $1,000 a month. And they're like, oh, hell no. That would destroy our economy. So guess what? They're ending the experiment, and it's been labeled a failure. Now, they say that it's going to be $32 trillion for 10 years in order for people to have this socialized medicine or free health care. Problem. That's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the tip. Because then if we add in the free college, well, guess what? In the United States, individuals that receive a scholarship to attend university or college is a fraction of the total amount of students that attend school. And that fraction adds up to $46 billion a year. That's not to mention the $3.3 billion in private grants. So now we're talking roughly $50 billion a year for a fraction of the students to attend university and college. So if you take that per year and put it across for every college student per year, oh, guess what? That number is astronomical. It's in the high, it's, I'd say, mid-trillions. I couldn't even do the math. I was just staggered at the fact that $50 billion a year is used to send a fraction of the kids that want to go to college to college. So, ladies and gentlemen, basically take that money and just imagine every single college kid getting all that free education. And the only way to do that is by making the colleges absolutely free. In other words, paid the professors a barely minimal, a barely living wage. Make the professors employees of the government. Take the schools and make them owned by the government.
Like public or public K through 12 school system. By the way, aren't these same people always saying that, that people shouldn't be allowed to take tax dollars and send their elementary and high school kids to a private or parochial school because you can't use public dollars for private institutions? Isn't that exactly what they would be doing if we gave them free college tuition? Or is the plan to take over every single university in this country, including the likes of Harvard and Yale and all the other Ivy Leaguers?
That's leading me to something else. Now, if you take 100% of the paid tuition and send these kids to these schools, like, let's say, University of Illinois or the University of Florida, these are state schools. These are state-sponsored schools. And then you make them part of the federal government, and you turn around and you say, okay, well, these kids are going to go to school for free because we're going to pay for it out of our own pocket. Okay, fantastic. So what happens to Princeton, Berkeley, Harvard, Yale? What happens to these schools, because now they have a higher standard of education, the government is going to, and this has happened, ladies and gentlemen, this has happened. The quality of education they're getting is far more superior than the quality of education that somebody that's going to, you know, the University of Florida. But this person wants to go to Harvard. But it's too expensive. It doesn't fall within the bracket of how much we pay per student to attend school. So it may sound like a conspiracy theory, but if you think about it, this has happened in this country. It has happened where a school, a private school, will be taken over by the government. And then they force the school to lower its tuition rates in order to accept these students, which will also mean the quality of education will plummet. That's why people want to go to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, not just for the connections, but the quality of education that they used to receive at one point before the leftists managed to weasel their way into these schools and start teaching complete garbage.
By the way, Ocasio-Cortez is a graduate from Boston University, another highbrow school. Well, it used to be.
Well, it used to be, but that's a state-sponsored school. Now, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to send your kid, if your kid's ready to go to college and you're considering which college to send them to, think about this. University of Chicago. They don't have safe spaces. They don't have the teddy bear hugging. Open and free debate. University of Chicago has now been rated the number one school in the country to send your kid in order to actually learn something. Consider that school. Now, if you take all of this into consideration, free education, free health care, food stamps, living wage, okay? Because living wage in the United States, that would also be minimum, and I mean minimum, about $1,200 a month. You don't have to work, but you just get the money anyway. If you take all this into consideration, all this stuff that Sanders and Cortez want to actually give the people, well, now that $32 trillion in the course of a year would be $32 trillion in the course of 1 year. Minimum $32 trillion in 1 year. But as population grows, that $32 trillion will then become $40 trillion a year. Now, there is another aspect that these two individuals are not taking into consideration. They turn around and they say that corporations need to pay more taxes, that the top 1% need to pay more taxes. There's one thing that these people do not even consider is a possibility, and it has happened, and it just happened with the previous administration. And that one thing is companies leaving the country. If a company leaves the country and headquarters itself someplace else, that is lost tax revenue. It also means unemployment, which also means, guess what? Higher taxes for those that can actually work. because they have to make up for the fact that all these other people are no longer working, but they're collecting all these benefits. So that means that other people will have to pony up and pay more taxes. So now we have a mass exodus of wealth leaving the country. This is something that they never take into consideration. And even this whole thing about $32 trillion in 10 years for Medicaid, corporate exodus was also not taken into consideration. And this happened during the Obama administration. Companies were leaving. His infamous question, well, what does Donald Trump think he have, a magic wand where he can just wave it and companies will come back? Yeah, it's called a telephone, dumbass.
Yeah, because, you know, these jobs are leaving, and they're never coming back.
Well, they came back. His magic wand was a telephone. Should have used one. So now we have mass exodus of all these of all corporations leaving because of such a high tax rate. They will go someplace else and create wealth for that country and the people of that country, while our people, their taxes keep climbing and climbing and climbing because these corporations left. Now, how are people going to pay taxes if corporations keep leaving? That's the question nobody bothers to ask. That is the concept that nobody has the audacity to sit there and say, wait a minute, if all these large companies leave, how are taxes going to be paid? Really simple. And here's the answer. Small companies. That's right. The mom and pop shops. They will then suffer the burden. This is where the failure of socialism happens. Because now the mom and pop shops will start closing up. The burden on taxes on them is going to be so heavy. So what happens after that? This is how socialism has worked in the past. They turn around and take over. And they say, okay, these companies now work for the government. Where has that happened before? Oh, yeah, China, to this day. Because the socialism in China is where the Chinese government is in partnership with every company that's headquartered in China. The quality, lead paint, toys falling apart, children choking on things because they easily come apart. The quality of service that's being provided by the socialist companies of China have doomed China to basically be considered junk salesmen. I mean, lead paint, really? Because the Chinese government doesn't care about the quality, they care about the income. And that's it. So these companies are in partnership with the Chinese government, and the ones that ride roughshod over these companies is the Chinese government. I could own a company in China, and I could say I make, let's say, pillows. Well, the Chinese government will say, well, we got to be partners with you, 50-50. Okay, we're partners. Then the Chinese company's government turns around and says, hey, that stuff that you're filling the pillows with, it's kind of pricey, isn't it? It's like, dude, it's 2 cents a ton. Yeah, but we got something over here that's only 1 cent a ton. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's human hair. We got tons of it. Oh, we got so much of it. Just fill them with human hair. Okay. What if I don't want to? We'll take the whole company over. Okay, human hair it is. You got it. This is what socialism is like when it comes to companies and corporations in China. So Mr. Sanders and Ms. Ocasio, or Cortez, they turn around and they're painting this beautiful, you know, picture of Shangri-La, how socialism works. Because these two individuals have fooled themselves into thinking we can do it better. Well, guess what? There's a whole bunch of other places that thought they can do it better too, and they didn't. And the names of those countries are Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Belarus, Azerbaijan, Georgia, Tajikistan, Moldova, Kyrgyzstan, Lithuania, Turkmenistan, Armenia, Latvia, and Estonia, all members of the former USSR. So, got news for you. You're doomed to fail. Because you keep painting, and you keep painting this picture of, oh, it's only 28% that corporations have to pay. Yeah, only 28% for the free education. Oh, excuse me, for the free health care. What about the free education? What about the living health wage? Oh, the living wage. What about the food stamps? What about the college? What about all this other stuff that you're conveniently not talking about in the process of other things that you want to be free? So that 28% will skyrocket to 70%.
And keep in mind that that is not the only tax, obviously. I've mentioned this I don't know how many times. Every single dime that you give to the government, no matter what they call it, is a tax. Canada may have a, what, you said 38% tax rate, top tax rate? Well, yeah, but
26%.
26%, but toss on that, what is it, 17% general sales tax, national sales tax?
Yeah.
Yeah, you start, your taxes start going through the roof there when you start adding it all up. I mean, this is why that some states, why they don't talk about it. Some states have, you know, when you add up all the different little taxes that you're paying both on the state and federal level, you're paying over 60% of your tax money into taxes, which is why you have states like California and New York now screaming bloody murder that one of the deductions on the federal tax lines have been removed, because now their citizens get to feel the full force of their high taxes, and people don't like it, and they're leaving. So I don't know where we'd go if we want to leave the USA. I don't know. Even at what, some 40-some percent in Iceland, that still might be better, because that's about, you wouldn't have to pay too much more. Anyway, thank you so much for this report this morning. Again, 0010, fantastic information. We appreciate it.
Not a problem, and you all have a great one, and take care. And if you have any questions about all this information, because honestly, it's a lot that I gave today, just hit me up on Twitter, and I'll try to answer it honestly and sincerely. Okay? So y'all have a great one, and take care, and God bless.
Talk to you soon. We'll be back.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eccles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm a leftist elite Hollywood a-hole? If so, good news. The Rod Eccles Hollywood Community College is now open, featuring such courses as Unemployment is Not Paid Vacation. No, Americans don't want to spend $19 for an order of French fries and the ever-popular Shut the Hell Up. Why, just listen to this big-time celebrity endorsement.
I'm not Rosie O'Donnell, and I think this school's offensive, sexist, and racist.
And I think you're a giant a-hole who needs to shut the hell up. Hey, we teach a course in that. The Rod Eccles Hollywood Community College, where being an a-hole is not a guarantee you'll be an A student.
Thousands of